So if I were to ask you if you know what House Bill 1664 was, what would your answer be? I'll wait. Yeah, there's silence now, but I'm guessing at the end of this hour, you are not going to at least be silent on what the House bill is. It is a bill that has been proposed by two of our state representatives who join us live in the studio today. Summer Lee, Ed Gainey, welcome. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Thanks Indeed. For having us, Ms. Lynn.
So explain to me, I mean, like I said, if I just say House Bill 1664, I'm sure for a lot of people that means nothing. It's a number. But in fact, what that House bill represents is pushing the state of Pennsylvania forward.
Absolutely. So House Bill 1664, and I hate to use numbers, getting right down to it, it's our use of force bill. It's deadly use of force. It dictates when a police officer can use deadly force, or really any force at all, because we realize that in making an arrest, obviously it can be a tense situation, but as often as possible, police officers should not have the right to kill innocent people. They should not have the right to kill someone who is fleeing. They should never have the right to shoot someone in the back. And that's what House Bill 1664 seeks to address.
And Ed, when we talk about this issue, I think it's important to note, because I think what happens a lot of times for people is they feel like this doesn't affect me. This doesn't apply for me. Apply to me. I say this all the time. You go to neighborhoods and they all say, I'm shocked because things like this don't happen here. Stuff happens everywhere. And so this is a bill that has the potential to affect everyone in Pennsylvania.
Definitely has the potential to impact everybody in Pennsylvania. And I think that people are seeing it more and more, what we're trying to do. I always explain to people, this is not an anti-police bill. So before we even begin, let's just get that narrative out the way that this is an anti-police bill. It's not. At the end of the day, I want every person in law enforcement to go home to their family. I don't want to lose one person in law enforcement to anything that can happen out here. At the same time, I don't want to lose anybody in the community. I want the community to go home too. And we have seen too many incidents, particularly lately, of just the opposite happening. And so me and Summer have done some great things. We have sat down with the
troopers,
the Troopers Association and the DA Association. And it was funny. Even when we sat down, they said, listen, we provide some of the best training. But even if, even when we provide some of the best training, there are some officers that will go astray. And I'm going to let Summer take it from here and I'll come back in. But when they said go astray, I want you to think about that. If there is a part of the law that needs to be changed to ensure that they don't, then we need to be working on that because that has an impact on all Pennsylvanians. So I'm going to let Summer go into some of the conversation that we had because I thought it was a very good conversation.
Yeah, I think that was a strong statement that he was making. But what we were trying to get to the point of is our police officers should be held to the highest standard.
Absolutely.
These are the people who are given a badge. They're given a license to kill. On their belts, they have the power of life and death. So we want to make sure that if you're a police officer, that you are abiding by the strictest laws, that you have the best training, that you are the highest quality folks that we can put on this out here on our streets. And if you are not that, then you should not be there. So when we're saying that, and when he's saying that there are always going to be some officers that go astray, then we're saying that we need officers, other officers to step up, to call that out, to point out those cultures within their own ranks that need to be addressed, and that we also need laws that will match that. So if I shoot somebody and it was an error, or if I kill someone in error, I have to go to trial. I will probably go to jail and I will probably stay there for a very long time. What we are saying is that when a police officer makes an error, they should have the same laws and they should have the same consequences and be held accountable just like any other citizen.
I was going to say, because other citizens do face consequences.
Absolutely.
When they make a bad decision or they make a mistake.
And are our laws not a deterrent?
And we also know that even when we spoke to the DA Association, even their representative said, hey, listen, we know there's a flaw in the law. We know that this needs to be changed. So the fact that we know that there's a flaw, we shouldn't keep it there. If we know that there's a flaw that we can improve to make it better, that's going to save lives, that's what we should be about. That's what our bill does. That's why we wanted to get the narrative straight. This is about saving and preserving life. This is not anti-police. We need to demonstrate that we can come together and be able to work on a bill that saves lives. We're not saying that our bill is all-inclusive of everything, but it's a starting point. Mm-hmm. It's a point that says, here's where we at. Here's what we believe. Come help us. We have been reaching out to all law enforcement to talk about how we can come together and begin to build trust in this community. Mm-hmm. We mm-hmm. need to do that because we only have two avenues. We can allow the trust to erode, or we can do what's in our nature and help to build this trust. We have to do something to build the trust.
Are you getting pushback?
Well, we about to find out.
I think we're going to find out. You know, we're having our public policy hearing on it. So this will be the first opportunity some of our colleagues will have to really sit down and listen to impacted groups, to listen to advocacy groups, to listen to, you know, folks who are experts in police accountability, police use of force. So I'm going to be curious to see how they react to it. But mm-hmm. there's a strong contingent of folks who aren't willing to take a side yet at all. Sitting back and they want to wait and see, like, how does the momentum take us? You know, is this going to be popular? Because there are a lot of folks who don't want to go up against certain entities. And that's real. Right. And we have to address that. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, we have to draw a line. Mm-hmm. And this is what this bill does. Our current bill is not good. Our current bill is overbroad. It's dangerous. I don't think that there are too many people who will contest that. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to how do we fix it? That's when we start to get into the mud. So if they're not willing to come to the table, then I don't know how much.
And here's the other thing. We got letters because we did ask the law enforcement to come. We asked the FOP, the chiefs of police, and the state troopers to come.
Okay.
Two of them have sent letters saying that they're willing to sit down and work with me in summer. We're going to do that. We're going to sit down and work with them. But when we work with them, we want an outcome. We want something to be a finished product at the end of the day so that we can say that we work, not just come and the roadblock is we sat down just to say no.
Right.
If you're only coming to say no, then we're not building anything. This is about saving lives. Mm-hmm. And we both know it's good for the police and the community.
Indeed. We got to take a break. You're listening to KDKA 1020. Guest in the studio today, State Representatives Ed Gainey, Summer Lee. Stick around. We got a lot to do. Law enforcement, deadly use of force. It is a loaded conversation. Joining me in studio today, two perspectives, two co-sponsors of a bill currently that will come up before elected officials in Harrisburg, I guess soon in the fall. Yeah, I mean, fall's like right here. Ed Gainey, Summer Lee. Before we continue our conversation, though, I want folks just to take a listen to a lot of this, and we'll talk about this on the back end, was sparked by the situation involving Antoine Rose. And Michelle Kenny, Antoine's mother, we had hoped would join us today, but a family emergency made that impossible. But this is the audio we're about to hear includes comments from Antoine Rose's mother, Michelle Kenny.
It's hard to believe that it's been a year. It's crazy sometimes, and it's hard to believe that he's not here.
Hawkins Village. This is in Rankin, PA, where I grew up. This is where my family is. This is my community. But this is also a place where we have a lot of pain, a lot of trauma.
I dream about him. I think about him all day, every day. I don't sleep. And when I'm sleeping, I'm dreaming. I still see my son's face, like every day. And everybody keeps saying that it's never gonna get easier. I don't expect it to get easier. I really don't. I'm really a realist. I just want some of the pain to go away. Antoine was my baby even at 17. He'll be my baby till the day I die. He lost his life to somebody who's supposed to protect us.
We have officially introduced our use of force bill, House Bill 1664. Right now, our current statute is overbroad and quite frankly, it's dangerous. If a police officer can shoot a child in the back three times, then that's a law that we need to change immediately.
So we introduced this bill because we want a better relationship with the police. This is not an anti-police bill. We're not here to take a life, but to save a life. And if using the use of force bill by enhancing it, modifying it, and making it better gives us this opportunity, this is what we have to do.
We want to ensure that only the best are on our streets.
On August 27th, right here at the Hawkins Village Community Room,
We are going to have a public hearing on our use of force bill. We are asking the community to come out and secondly, support House Bill 1664.
We want to see action on this bill. If you're offering me sympathy for Antoine, support the bill.
Thank you.
And it's interesting, that last comment by Michelle Kenney, Antoine Rose's mother. If you're offering support to me, support the bill. And I think that in a lot of ways sums this all up, don't you?
Absolutely. And first and foremost, we want to send a prayer out to Michelle's family, praying for her mom. That's number one. She said she would be listening to the show today. That's number one. But number two is, I mean, you heard Summer say it right. You know, we have to deal with reasonable force. Let's be honest. He was unarmed. He was running away. He got shot in the back 3 times.
Now, let me stop you right there, only because we've talked about this a lot on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing callers say over and over again, you know where I'm going, right? Why did he run?
Why did he run? Because he was scared. There's no other. I mean, let me be honest with you. You can see what's going around throughout the United States right now. And that's why I keep saying we need a relationship. We need to work together because there's a lot of things that we have to remove.
Mm-hmm.
We can't just say, oh, well, he shouldn't have ran, or that's why, you know, if he runs, he deserves. No, he doesn't deserve to get shot.
And I want to put some more perspective into that, because when we talk about the environment that Antoine grew up in, and this is not just Antoine, but a lot of kids in this generation, in our school alone, just last year, 2 years ago, we had an incident where, or multiple incidents where our school district was in international news for police officers brutalizing kids in that school. Those are the halls that he walked.
Mm-hmm. Woodland Hills.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He knew that police officer. That's the relationship that some of these kids had with police officers, with authority, with security guards. And it was not just one incident, not two, not three, more than five.
Mm-hmm.
So then to go back into those communities and then to be face to face with another police officer, knowing how the one who was supposed to be there protects you in your school, you know, how that one treated you.
Mm-hmm.
It's so reasonable when you think of how someone will react. But also, this is a child. This isn't an adult.
Right.
The perception. That's a perception. So now he takes that perception of what he had to deal with in school and now it's in the community. That's the perception of how a lot of our youth, including myself, feel.
Mm-hmm.
We feel that way. Look, I can name the number of times I got pulled over knowing I stopped at a stop sign, but all of a sudden they said I didn't stop. There's been countless. You can go live right now. There's countless people that have been through that. In my community, that's a random. All we're saying right now is that at some level, we got to change that. We want to talk about the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. There's always been a situation between police community. And the only way we're going to overcome that is if we work together. No one is out here saying that it's an easy job being a law enforcement officer, but also we have to change the perception of how they're viewed in certain communities,
particularly
the African-American community. You just heard Summer talk about it. That's a kid that it happened to in school. You don't think that's reflective of how he feels in the community?
That's how he's going to feel in the community. Hold that thought. We're getting ready to go to news. I have State Representatives Summer Lee and Ed Gainey in the studio. Good morning, Brother Victor. Brother Victor,
are
you there?
Good morning. How are you? Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead. We got a real short window, so go ahead.
All right. Thank you. Well, I think it's important to get this legislation passed. It's responsible enough because the state moved very fast to make sure police dogs were protected. Surely the life of a human being outweighs the life of a police dog.
Absolutely.
Okay. I can put a period right there, Brother Victor. Thanks for your call today. Appreciate you. It is 11:30. You're listening to Lynn Hayes Freeland. KDKA will take a break for the news. Come back with our state representatives. The phone lines are open, 866-391-1020, if you want to weigh in on the conversation. Not only do I have two state representatives in the studio with me, I got some open phone lines if you want to weigh in on the conversation, 866-391-1020. Summer Lee, Ed Gainey. Welcome back. You've been here for the first half hour or so. We had a caller who felt like they needed to hear again exactly what this bill is.
Yes. So our bill is amending the current bill, which I already said was overbroad. What the current bill does is it allows the police officer to use deadly force basically to effectuate an arrest. Also, they can use deadly force on a fleeing felon. So someone who they suspect committed some sort of crime, has a gun, they think has a gun, they are able to use deadly force on it. What our bill would do, our update, would say that a police officer can use deadly force in the same situations where anybody else who is using self-defense. So if they're protecting themselves or somebody else against an imminent threat to life, serious bodily injury, if they suspect that if this person gets away, they will harm somebody immediately. But also what it says is that, and what we're trying to move culturally to through our whole package of bills, is saying that police officers should exhaust all of their other resources before they use deadly force. Mm-hmm. It's not to say that there won't be instances where police officers have to use excessive force, but it is to say that in those instances where they do, it was necessary, it was needed. So if they're de-escalating, if we're making sure that there's a protocol in place, so how does a police officer respond, you know, when they come up on the scene, if someone does have a weapon, do they give them a verbal? Do they mm-hmm, immediately mm-hmm. shoot? Those are the things that we're attempting to address within this new bill. So serious bodily injury, death, forcible rape, kidnapping, those are all instances where a police officer now can use excessive or deadly force.
So two of the things you said, I want to follow up on. So right now, if they suspect that you are a felon.
Yes.
If they think...
Because you're not a felon until you get convicted.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, and how do you know that? I mean, if you're running away or whatever, how do you know? Is there wiggle room in there? So it's like, well, because they ran, I thought he was a felon. I thought he had a gun.
There's far too much wiggle room currently. Oh, okay. And that is precisely the case that we have with Antoine Rose II. They suspected him of being a part of a felony that had happened. They imagined or believed that he had a gun. And they use that to justify firing on a 17-year-old child who's running away with his back turned.
And they had no proof. Mm-hmm. None.
Let me ask you this. So you two have co-sponsored the bill.
Yes.
Give me an idea. Have your fellow legislators from our area, where are we on this? Are you seeing support? Are you seeing resistance? What's that look like?
We're seeing some support. I think that from Western Pennsylvania, I think there's about seven of our representatives from Allegheny County mm-hmm. who have joined us and co-sponsoring this bill. And we, of course, have more who are throughout the Commonwealth. I think that there are some folks who are waiting to see. I think that we're going to get more. I think that there are people who just want to see how this plays out. They want to see if the FOP comes to the table and what their perspective is. They want to see what the state trooper's perspective is. And we've talked to them about that, and they've made that clear.
But some of our colleagues, particularly out the West, have been very, very, very supportive. When you talk about Frankel, you could talk about Austin Davis. We can point out to Sarah Amorato. We can point out to Jake Wheatley. We can point out to Dan Miller. We can point out, did I miss anybody, Summer?
No, us and then us. But yeah. Also, some of them are also a part of our bigger package of mm-hmm. police legislation. So okay. Representative Wheatley, he has a bill within this that would look to create a professional oversight board statewide. So what we're looking at the county level right now, that's been the talk of this area, looking to do something that would license or certify police officers that would be a place for accountability. So if a police officer has a misconduct, who do you go to?
Mm-hmm.
Do you go to them?
Right.
His bill would create that entity that would handle that and look at professionalizing police officers. Then we also have Austin Davis, who is looking at regionalization of police, which is an issue that we have with East Pittsburgh, where this happened.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of small boroughs that are under-resourced.
That
can't do it.
Right.
So his bill would look at that, and he's been supportive. Representative Miller, who helped us draft this, he consulted on this. And he's played a major part in a lot of these bills, too, and talking about them and figuring out what is the best language and how do we move forward with it. So we've been getting a lot of help.
All right. So what's going to happen on August 27th?
So August 27th, we're going to have a public hearing. We're going to have it in Hawkins Village. We're looking forward to it. But this is just this is just another step in the process to get this bill passed. It's going to be at 2:00. We got three panels coming. And it's going to be interesting to hear, but we need the community to come out. We need the community to come. They need to hear our voice. They need to see us. They need to know that this means a lot to us. We cannot go to sleep on this. We have to continue to push it. And this is the beginning. When we get back, we're going to take the FOP up. I mean, not the state troopers up and others that said that they're going to work with us. We're going to sit down and we want to work. We want to get this done. We want to push it. Look, for me, I'm going to be honest. I want to do it because it's going to save multiple lives.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also going to be to the point, I see Michelle a lot.
Michelle Kenney. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see her. And I could see the pain. I could see it. This is the rest that I fight for is because I believe in a bigger picture. But this is more intimate because I know her.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to see this get done. And we're going to fight until it get done. So on August the 27th at Hawkins Village, what's the address?
500 Kenmore Avenue.
Yep. We're going to be ready.
Don't quote me on that.
But that'll get you close.
Yeah, that'll get you close. Going to the village.
So when you say three panels, so who are the panelists? Are these going to be people who all have different perspectives on this issue? Who are the panelists?
So the first one's going to be Michelle Kenney.
Okay.
She's going to talk about it. The second one is going to be some advocacies like the ACLU and some others. And then the third one is going to be a group of we got like three advocate groups that's coming.
Yeah. We have Tim Stevens. Yeah. We have Alliance for Police Accountability. So he would obviously be repping BPEP. Mm-hmm. Who's been doing work around this, trying to do some Know Your Rights. And
right.
And Brandy's been on it for a long time.
Yeah, Brandy Fisher. Yeah. And, BPAP even has that brochure that at one time, I know in the city of Pittsburgh, I think it was required for every police officer to be familiar with. And mm-hmm. it was basically what to do when you're stopped by police.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Have we seen that go beyond Pittsburgh? Just curious.
I haven't, but I'm not saying that it has.
Okay. I don't know either.
I'm not sure. I've never heard that, but it's interesting because in a lot of ways, Pittsburgh seems to buy into some things before some other departments do. Just an observation. I have been spending this hour with State Representative Summer Lee Ed Gainey. So at the end of the day, you're going to have this public hearing on the 27th. Then what happens from there?
Then we keep fighting.
Ed keeps looking at you.
I know. He's so deferential. He's super respectful. Then we go back to Harrisburg and the fight continues. I think a lot of people think that bills automatically are introduced and then automatically come on the House floor. Mm-hmm. And that is mm-hmm. not the case. Right now, we have a legislature that does not have to put anybody's bills up, and ours included. This bill is going to be referred to the Judiciary Committee, where we are going to encourage my chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Representative Rob Kaufman, to put our bill up, put it to a vote. So first, he needs to decide that he wants to or will agree to put it to a vote in a Judiciary Committee. Mm-hmm. And then it goes back to the House floor. So we need to encourage Speaker Torzai that this is an important bill, that this is a life and death bill, and that he needs to move on it. But through him. You know, this is the only way that we can get this bill to the House floor. So we encourage and what's next is everybody who has participated in this, whether you came down to our Harrisburg rally where we had hundreds of people, whether you have marched on the streets at the courthouse in protest of his death, however you have participated, we need you to now call your rep, especially the two that I mentioned.
And we're going to continue to meet. They said they want to meet with us. We're going to meet with them. We're going to meet with them and continue to defend it. To define the bill and try to get their support. Mm-hmm. But if we can't get their support, we still got to push this through. This is a great opportunity for us to say we're working together to build something that's solid. And Summer was right as we was talking outside of this. You know, the one thing that we want to get through is that we reached out to the FOP. We reached out to the chiefs of police. We reached out to
the troopers.
So it's not like we're not reaching out. We're reaching out. We're doing what's necessary. We wanted them to be at the public hearing.
They were all invited.
All of them were invited. We invited them all. So we're not doing nothing in the dark. We're doing everything in the light because we understand that the number one thing that we're trying to get across is how we save lives.
So they were all invited. Do we know at this point who's coming?
None of them are coming. They have all, I don't know if they all have, but they've said that they'll send in letters.
Two of them have supplied letters. We have to get them. And I don't want to speak out of turn. I think that was the chiefs of police and the troopers.
Mm-hmm.
They sent letters expressing their cooperation to wanting to work with us, and that's fine. We'll sit down and talk, but we want an outcome at the end of the day.
Well, that's a start, though. At that point, a letter saying that's a start.
But we want an outcome at the end of the day. We definitely need an outcome, and that's critical.
And will people be able to testify at this event on the 27th? Will people be able to tell their stories or they'll be listening?
So the three panels that we have are the people who are going to be testifying.
Okay.
These public policy hearings are very structured in the sense that we have the people who testify. This is an opportunity for the reps us, our colleagues, to sit down, listen to people who are experts in some way on the topic, mm-hmm. whether that be somebody who is impacted, someone who has been in the work, or someone who is in the profession. We're going to listen to those folks. We're going to ask questions of them. They're going to respond. They're going to share their stories. The folks who come and view this, they get to hear it. But also, we're going to put pressure on our reps to widen their perspective. Because sometimes we come into office thinking that we know some things and thinking that the way we view the world is the only way to view the world. So these policy hearings allow our colleagues to actually walk into the shoes of someone else and listen and learn from their constituents.
And we get people on public hearing. Once you testify in front of us, it now is public. It's a public hearing. It goes on record. So now we can go back to this record and say, hey, this is what you said compared to what you're doing. So we definitely want to get people on public record speaking about how they feel about the use of force bill.
So I'm just curious, have we ever had a public hearing in Hawkins Village before?
I don't believe so. I used to go to daycare there in Head Start. I don't recall there ever being any government officials there. Mm-hmm. So I think this may be the first. I'm very excited about it.
Hold on. We'll come back in just a second, wrap all this up. We're just about out of time. State Representative Summer Lee, Ed Gainey, been here for an hour. Summer, let me just say to you, a lot of people see this as a black and white, a black and brown issue, but it's broader than that.
It is. This isn't just about saving black lives, though it is. But also, when you really look at the statistics of who are being killed, who are being injured by police officers, there's also the disability community. We have folks who have mental health issues. We have folks who are deaf or hard of hearing, who maybe can't respond to the commands and police officers not knowing how to interact with them. This is about safety in general and protecting lives. This is about not waiting for there to be another Antoine, not waiting for there to be another person with a disability who's killed. But protecting them all.
Indeed. So, Ed, you get the final word.
No, I just want to encourage people, August 27th, Hawkins Village, come on out to the use of force public hearing. We need you. We told you that we're going to continue to fight for this and we're going to continue to advocate for it. But at the end of the day, we're only as good as you. We need you. Come on out and help us to say.
Thanks so much for joining us today. Hawkins Village, your home community. Indeed.
My home community.
Yeah, put that in there. Thanks so much for spending this hour with us. We appreciate you. It's 12 noon and time for the news.